y'all brought the little boy, and I got my little boy with me tonight. So.
He's going to grow up one of these days.
Mm-hmm. Think about these questions. Are you ever tempted to look down on people who don't go to church while thinking you're better than they are because you go to church? Or are you tempted to look down on people in prison and think that you're better than they are because you're not in prison? Do you ever look at people who are from broken homes and failed marriages and think that you're better than they are because you're not? Good questions. Do you ever look down your nose at anyone for any reason and think, well, you're definitely better than them? Well, I want you to get your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 18. One thing's certain, every one of us will find ourselves somewhere in this parable. And we're going to read about a Pharisee. Have you noticed, like the Pharisees, at one time or another, all of us are guilty of trying to impress God? Well, this evening we're going to take a fresh look at what it takes to impress God. But of course we can't do that without taking a hard look at ourselves and inside our own hearts. In other words, hey Danny, what is there about your heart that would impress God? And so, God, what impresses you? Well, here's an interesting thing. God is unimpressed when you try to impress Him. Look here in Luke 18, verse 9. Also, He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Or even, I can almost see him in my mind's eye pointing his finger, or even like this tax collector. Even as this tax collector, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I know immediately you're ready to jump all over this Pharisee because he was, to say the least, grossly arrogant. Now, when he looked at himself, he would see an Eagle Scout. He dotted every I, crossed every theological T. He went strictly by the book. He had a heart for religion. But the reality was, his religion wasn't tied to his heart. And so he's standing in the center of the courtyard in the temple grounds. And he stood there because it was where he could be heard the clearest and seen the best. And he let everyone know just how wonderful he was. First of all, we read that he fasted twice a week, not once a year on the Day of Atonement. Get this, he's 103 times a year more than required. Look at him, right? He tithed. The Jews were told to give 10%. He tithed 10% of everything he possessed. The old law only required that you tithe your income. He tithed everything. Remember Jesus talking about those who tithed even the incense and the things they gathered from the garden? He was a double tither. Look at me. God, look at me. And understand, there's nothing wrong with fasting more than once a week, and certainly nothing wrong with giving more than that 10% the Jews were required. So what's the problem? Well, here's the problem. I'm going to put this in Western Carter County vernacular. He had a bad case of stinking thinking. He thought his goodness was earning him brownie points with God. He thought God's value of a person was based upon what they did for him. That's how you earned God's respect. He was religious, and he was so proud of it. Now, let's stop right here and get this straight. If you trust anything on your resume of accomplishments to make you right with God, then this parable applies to you, right? The Pharisee thought that God would be impressed with all that he was doing. And so we learn the first clue to what impresses or unimpresses God. It had to be a little confusing to the Pharisees, but you'll never impress God until you stop trying to just impress God. Have you heard about that fifth grader that came home from school? That she was so excited, and she told her mom, "I've been voted prettiest in the class." The next day, she's even more excited. "I've been voted the most likely to succeed." And the next day, she was just beside herself. I mean, "I've been voted the most popular." She's on a roll. And then the next day, she came home distraught, to say the least. Really upset. And the mother said, "What happened? Did you not win the vote today?" And she said, "Oh no, I won the vote." And the mother said, "Well, what were you voted for?" And she said, the most stuck up." Well, the Pharisee would have won that contest hands down. He had a really bad I problem. Five times you read the little pronoun I in two verses. And so he's suffering from two problems: inflation and deflation. He had an inflated view of himself and a deflated view of who God is. C.S. Lewis, he wrote, I really like this. He said, "A proud man's always looking down on things and people." And of course, as long as you're looking down, you can't see anything that's up. That's pretty good. The Pharisee, of course, had deceived himself about himself. He's saying, "God, I thank you that I'm not like that other man over there." But he was like that other man over there. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There was a man on trial for burglary one time, and he's standing before the judge, and the judge said, "Sir, you can let me try your case, or you can choose to have a jury of your peers." And the man thought for a moment, and he said, "Well, Your Honor, what is a peer?" And the judge said, "Well, they're people like you." The defendant said, "Forget that. I don't want a bunch of thieves deciding if I'm guilty." Whether it's a, you know, big sin or a little sin, all our peers are sinners, and we're all sinners before others because all have sinned. And this man was deceived about this. This man was deceived even about his prayer. This is almost humorous. Verse 11, "He stood and prayed thus with himself." Now, if you take the Greek language this was originally written in, you could literally translate this: "He prayed thus to himself." And so when you approach God with pride, you wind up just talking to yourself. Someone said the only person God sends away empty is the person full of himself. And so prideful prayer is nothing more than an echo in your own ears. And so we want to know, how is God impressed? And of course, in this parable, humility impresses God. Not a parable, but an account. Verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. One thing's for sure. No one could miss the contrast. Tax collectors, you know how people looked at them. They were considered to be the scum of Jewish society. They were the IRS for the Roman government. They charged huge rates. They were allowed to just skim money off the top. They would steal candy from a baby. That's how they were looked at. They would steal the last bite of food from a starving mother. And they were considered traitors to the nation of Israel. Here were Jewish men gathering money from other Jews for the Roman government. And so they were so despised they couldn't hold public office. They couldn't even give testimony in a Jewish courtroom because their word was considered to be worthless. Now, the story takes a strange twist. The Pharisee tries to impress God. He didn't. But the tax collector did impress God while not even trying. And so now we see what really impresses God. Humility impresses God. The tax collector was as humble as the Pharisee was proud. Now, watch this. You could see it in where he put his feet. Did you notice that? Verse 13. And the tax collector standing afar off. The Pharisee went to the center of the court yard, stood in the sunshine. The tax collector, he's over on the side trying to blend in with the wall and be unseen in the shadows. You could see it in where he focused his eyes. He would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. The Pharisee seemed too proud to look up, and the tax collector was too ashamed to look up. You could also see it with what he did with his hands. He beat his breast. In effect, he's saying, I know I'm condemned. I know I have a healthy heart. Or a filthy heart. I know I'm unworthy. And you could hear it in the agony of his voice. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the amazing thing is God heard his prayer. For Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The highway to heaven is paved with humility. I'm not sure we can understand how shocking this parable was to those who first heard it. I mean, think about that. Think about these Pharisees and these religious leaders listening to this. And yet they should have known better. I mean, the Old Testament's filled with these passages. Psalm 38:18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. And so the key is humility. James said, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up, James 4:10. And so the way up is down. The lowly one becomes the one lifted up by God. Now look at verse 14 again. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is a shocking conclusion. Remember the old westerns? The good guys wore the white hats and the bad guys wore the bad hats. Well, the Pharisees wore the white hats from their perspective, and the tax collectors, these were not just black hats. These were like no shine to them. if you had taken a vote in the crowd, which man was accepted by God and which man was safely, you know, in a right relationship with God, the Pharisee would have won by a unanimous landslide. But there's only one vote that counts, and that, of course, is God's. And so, I mean, this is one of those accounts where we just have to get down to where the rubber meets the road. First of all, we learn that it is not how you see you that determines anything. It's how God sees you, how God sees me. That's what matters. And secondly, when you see God the way you should see God, then you will see you as you really are. And finally, mercy is not what God pays you because you are convinced He owes you or that you have earned it. It's what God gives you when you admit that you need it and only He has it. I've used this illustration before, but it's a very interesting one. It's a true story. Many, many years ago, a man conned his way into the orchestra of the Emperor of China. Now, the catch was he couldn't play one single note. And whenever the group practiced or they performed, he played a flute. He would just hold the flute, you know, pretending to play, never made a sound. And for years, he made a really good salary. I mean, lived a very comfortable life pretending to play the flute. And then one day, the emperor decided that he wanted a solo from every musician. And the chickens came home to roost. The flutist got obviously very paranoid and nervous that there would not be enough time for him to learn a little tune. And so he did what every boy does. He pretended to be sick, right? And so they sent the royal physician to him, and he wasn't fooled. And so on the day of his solo performance, this imposter took poison and died. True story. And the explanation of his suicide led to the phrase that's found its way into our English language. He refused to face the music. The way to impress God is simply to face the music. No pretending here. You can face the music now, or you can be a part and be part of the heavenly band, or you can face the music later and be kicked out of the orchestra. When you realize who you are apart from God and on a daily moment-by-moment basis depend on Him to be what you need to be for God, that impresses Him. And you can't do any of that while being arrogant. You have to be humble. And so we learn what impresses God. Not the things that impress man, but what impresses God. Tonight, if you need to come for any reason, please come now while we stand and sing.